listening to a podcast from The National.
This is the Extra Time Podcast. I'm Graham Cagle, sports editor at The National newspaper. This episode is all about the World Cup going on in Russia. Steve Luckings and I had a chat about how Lionel Messi has finally managed to get on the score sheet at the World Cup, and what a time to do it as well, helping get Argentina through to the last 16 after they beat Nigeria 2-1. We also look at some of the countries of surprise and those who have underperformed, how VAR has impacted on-field product and where we think it can be improved still further. We also look ahead to what some of the elite sides now have to expect as we leave the group stages and head towards the last 16 and the knockout stages. Hey Steve, how are you doing? Recovered from last night?
Yeah, just about, mate. It's been an emotional, action-packed 14 days so far. I can only really think of one dire game, and that would be the 0-0 between France and Denmark yesterday. You enjoying the tournament so far?
Oh, absolutely. I can't believe we're almost at the second round already, because it only feels like yesterday we were starting off with Russia-Saudi, and obviously, as you know, it's been manic in the office trying to keep up with it all, but it's been a lot of fun.
It really is, isn't it? I really got into Euro 2016. I feel like I'm getting back into tournaments again. I think there was that kind of dire 8-10 year period where England just, you know, continually broke your heart.
Mm.
But and this tournament, a number of things have contributed to it, not least the goals. VAR has definitely, whether you like it, loathe it, agree with it, want to scrap it, undoubtedly it has created talking points, it's added to the drama, and we'll get onto that a little bit more later, mate. Firstly, though, I think we do have to go a little bit more in depth on Messi and Argentina. As we said, they were on the brink for a while there yesterday when Nigeria equalised, especially with Iceland equalising against Croatia in the group's other match. Now, they are through. Messi, as you said, scored a superb goal. I mean, taking that ball on his knee, the next touch, the shot across back across the Nigeria goalkeeper, fantastic. But as brilliant as he was in the first half, he was completely anonymous in the second half, just like he was against Iceland, just like he was against Croatia. So what kind of Messi are we going to see up against France in the last 16?
I think it'll be an interesting one because Argentina, I think it's fair to say, have underachieved so far. And France probably have been a little bit lucky with the group they were in. Like their hardest game was against the Denmark, who were more than happy probably to get a point out of the match. But, you know, when you think France made a dog's dinner out of Peru and Australia as well. So it's hard to know with Argentina. I think Messi's suffering from what so many players suffer from, in that even though on paper it shouldn't be a weakened side, it is clearly an inferior side. Argentina are an inferior side to Barcelona in many ways. They don't play, I don't think they suit his for the shape.
No, and certainly one of the criticisms of this Argentina team has been largely levelled at the manager, Jorge Sampaoli. Depending on what reports you believe, it's pretty much the players picking the team at the moment. Messi has been described as both manager and captain at the moment. And you look at, I mean, the capitulation against Croatia, where they just all lost their heads, especially in the second half. He has constantly chopped and changed his team. One player he seems obsessed with not playing is Paulo Dybala, who was my pick for player of the tournament. There's still time, hopefully.
Yeah.
But other than the game against Nigeria, Sampaoli doesn't seem to have picked the players or the tactics that will allow Messi to flourish or other players around him to flourish. Do you go along with that?
Oh, no. Completely, absolutely. It's like the logical thing is like if, in the likely event, if tomorrow I was rung up by the Argentine FA and said, right, we want you to be the next manager, the first thing you would do would be, right, how do we play our best football? Who's our best player? It's like the tactics you work with. Like, if you haven't got an outstanding individual, you work around a team formation. But if you have got an outstanding individual, which Argentina are blessed with in Messi, then you work on, right, this is not working. We're not getting the best of him. Why is this not working? But as you said, it kind of almost reminds me a little bit, I don't know if you remember 2010, when, God love him, Diego Maradona was coach, and it just feels like Argentina are way, like, they've played one good side already, Croatia, and got absolutely walloped. And my one fear for them will be if France score early and France can then sit a little bit deep and get Argentina to come onto them, France will absolutely maul them on the break. I can see that being quite ugly, potentially, if Argentina don't get a bit of discipline into their game and make sure they don't concede early in that game.
Yeah, definitely. And as per always, I mean, it's almost paradoxical, isn't it, that Messi is criticised for Argentina underperforming, which kind of puts the expectation on him that he's always expected to save them. But, I mean, Gonzalo Higuain was preferred to Sergio Aguero against Nigeria. Only had really one chance in the game. And as fantastic as he is at club level, once again, in a must-win pressure game, Higuain failed to deliver.
Oh, no, I completely agree. The problem with chopping and starting is, like, we don't obviously know in tournament level, you're not getting, it's not like you've got reserve football to keep you going, you've just got training. And let's face it, judging by the pictures that we've seen of the training sessions, most of the teams, it's not exactly high octane. So if you've been sat on the bench, it is quite difficult to come in and play to a level immediately. But as you said, like, you have to take your chance, and that's what the greats do. I think Messi suffers for... It's the one punishment of being brilliant is you are judged on a different level. Just as Ronaldo used to get beaten around the head, and you can argue, I imagine we'll probably talk about Portugal in a bit, but with Ronaldo as well, there's a frustration. It's sort of like, is it really fair completely to sort of judge him on the team's failings? Because a lot of what went wrong against Croatia was not Messi's fault. But as we said the other day, and so as we've done sort of on the website, if Argentina had gone out, obviously a lot was being made of Messi failing again, but then lots of great players have gone out in the first round at World Cups before.
Yeah.
It happens. That's the beauty of the tournament, the way it is.
And he's not been Argentina's worst player. I mean, Javier Mascherano, his distribution was criminal against Nigeria, and he's their most experienced player.
Yeah.
So it's easy to beat Messi with the stick, and I guess because we do expect so much from him. But I mean... what that performance, the first 45 minutes at least, like I said, second half, I just thought he disappeared. But you got the sense with his energy, the way he moved the ball, the kind of quick feet, the amount of touches, you get the sense that Messi's ready now, that he's ready to pick up the baton and kind of drag the team through to the latter stages again.
No, absolutely. It's like I said, the France game's going to be fascinating because you can't say either of them have really played that well so far, and then the way the draw works out after that, whoever gets through will have a reasonable shot at sort of moving on a bit from there. I'd predicted France before the tournament, and so I'm going to stick with the fact that I think France will beat Argentina.
Well, we're going to revisit our predictions, aren't we, after the group stages commence on Thursday. So keep an eye out for that. I think we're all doing pretty horrible at the moment. I think we all predicted Russia as the biggest disappointment, and they are through to the last 16. Moving on then to Messi's obviously great nemesis, Cristiano Ronaldo. Now, again, they've had a bit of a mixed bag. I mean, Ronaldo started the tournament with a bang, banging in a hat-trick against Spain, last kick of the game to rescue a point. The game against Iran, I mean, so much controversy around that game. For me, it was never a penalty. Great psychology from the Iranian goalkeeper to outdo Ronaldo and save his penalty. And then I think there's a massive, massive case to be made that Ronaldo should get a red card for an alleged elbow on the Iranian defender. And the consequence of not winning that game and drawing it means that they've got a much tougher route, or at least a much tougher last 16 match where they'll face Uruguay. A lot of people's dark horses for the tournament went through the group stage unbeaten. That could come back to cost them. Could come back to bite them not winning that group.
No, absolutely, because as I said, I'm sure we're not the only ones who've been making a fuss of, like, it looking like one side of the draw is particularly lopsided with, potentially big name sides or the sides you'd expect to challenge. And if Portugal had done that, they would have, would have fancied their chance against Russia. And then the way the draw works out, they'd have a really good chance against the semi-finals, at least from there.
Yeah.
As it is, as you said, it's kind of funny, like, they sort of drew 3-3, but were kind of lucky to get there because of, like, Ronaldo just had one of those games. And you play Spain 100 times, De Gea's going to concede that second goal about once.
Yeah.
So it was one of those freak days. And if Morocco had any kind of cutting edge, Morocco would have got something out of it.
I really liked Morocco
at
this World Cup. Like you say, they looked great until the final third. Too many creators, not enough finishers. But I was really impressed. And a guy I know you know pretty well from Watford days, Amrabat, I was really impressed with him.
They were great fun. And it's just a huge shame that they couldn't get anything out of the Spain game. Just as a concert. I'm really glad they didn't go home with 0 points.
Yeah.
They didn't deserve that. And
unlucky in their opener against Iran as well, last minute own goal.
That was an interesting thing. If they'd actually put away the chances in the first half against Iran, they might well have been in a position where they could have put Spain out, possibly. Yeah. But as it was, they can go home with their heads held high, but with a lot of frustration, as we could see at the final whistle of that game. But going back to Portugal, you think altogether, sort of, they were, in a way, I thought at half time they were going to run away with the game against Iran, but they kind of, it almost felt like very naive, almost like a pub football kind of game where, like, Iran kind of lost the plot a little bit, particularly with that second penalty, but Portugal got dragged into it. And you'd think Ronaldo, the amount of stick he gets in Spain and the abuse he gets, would know better. But as you said, he was a very, very lucky boy to get away with that.
Well, I mean, the histrionics of all the players in that game on both sides, the way they were hitting the deck, they made Neymar look dignified.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm surprised that the referee let so many of them get away with it. And it also looks like it's, bred a new symptom of, remember, players brandishing imaginary cards when they weren't sent off? That's it now. We've got the square, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly.
For VAR. And there were a couple of incidents in that match. So, like we said, the first one off the top of my head was the Ronaldo penalty, which, I don't know, depending on how you look at it, he's not in control of the ball, but if that happens anywhere else on the pitch and a player hits in that late, that's a foul. So I guess there's an argument there for a penalty. But the penalty that Iran were awarded was, quite frankly, ludicrous. This is where VAR has not done its job. And I don't know what your thoughts are on it. I've actually really, really liked it. And I think it's actually brought a lot to this World Cup. But that one incident where the referee didn't give the penalty, VAR told him, no, you need to have a look at this again. He goes and look at it under tremendous pressure from the Iranian players who kind of surrounded him, waiting for him to come back on, and was still doing this square thing, which is going to drive me mad, I know. Yeah. And he's looked at that again, and no person with eyesight would look at that and say that's a penalty.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, like we were talking before we came in here, about the fact that the Premier League and UEFA still haven't gone anywhere near this for the Champions League and the Premier League going forward. And I think it's like there's finessing still to be done, like whether it's asking questions of, is there any reason why I should change my decision, like they have in rugby and cricket. Like, it's finessing it. Like, I agree with you. I think it does add to it. Like, more often than not, it's being right.
I agree.
It's a decision out of the shades of grey where there's a bit of contact, but, you know, it's debating, because obviously football is a contact sport. Just because there is contact doesn't mean that's automatically it's balancing that kind of thing. What I think would help, possibly, would be something like what they have in tennis, where you can do reviews, where it's not just down to the referee and VAR, because that might be a way of stopping all the players on the pitch doing this automatically.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they've got one and a half, and if you use it, you can use another one, but you lose a substitution or something like that. So the idea is you don't want them reviewing every 2 minutes, because that's going to kill the game. But you also want to give them the chance, the manager, but it would have to have a lot of thought, time limits and such, like in cricket, like when a player has to review, I think he can only do it within 5 seconds and he can't look at them. Whether you allow the players to do it, like in the NFL, the coaching staff can look from the sideline, but they can't have their staff up in the grandstands.
Yeah.
Give it away. I think there's ways of improving it for definite, but like you, I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, but I guess this is where the confusion comes in a little still, because my understanding of it is that every incident like that is reviewed, whether you ask for it or not, or whether a player does this big box, small box or whatever, it is being reviewed. And it's only after it's reviewed, VAR headquarters in Moscow will say to the referee, right, we think you need to have a look at this. So, but like I said, again, this is part of the confusion. And we're watching it on television, so we are aware through the commentary that that is happening. At the game, I know you had this problem at the FIFA Club World Cup in Abu Dhabi. If you're at the game, you haven't got a clue what's going on.
No, I remember Real Madrid, Al Jazeera, just like, I think part of it is that fans just aren't used to it, because now there's a little, I think fans are much more sort of already 6 months on, it seems to, there's been a lot less complaints of it. And I think within a year or two, it will get there. But it just does seem a bit odd that we're using the World Cup to try and sort of get rid of sort of the crinkles from this, really, and sort of iron this out. But like you, I'm a fan of it. I think more often than not, there's still some odd ones, like some of the GB, like some of the holding and tugs in the box and like the huggings.
I mean, the fact that two people, was it Switzerland, wrestled Mitrovic to the ground, and no one thought, that raises some suspicions.
How that wasn't looked at is baffling. Some of the stuff that Harry Kane got against Tunisia.
But an instance of where it does work is the Neymar incident against Costa Rica. Now, the referee initially gave a penalty. VAR looked at the situation, said, no, need to look at this again because he's fallen like timber, but there really isn't that much contact. Referee looks at it again, changes his mind. That is an instance where VAR is adding to the game.
Yeah. And plus you get the added bonus of a Neymar tantrum afterwards.
Well, which totally,
sort of like,
yeah.
Which sort of is like, it's like a winner chicken dinner kind of scenario in that. So,
well, we've just touched on a few of the highlights of the competition so far. I believe Messi's goal against Nigeria was the 100th scored at this competition. What can we look forward to in the knockout rounds? Now we're getting down to the business end of it.
I said, well, thanks to some few upsets, hopefully, it's difficult to say with some games still to go in the group stages to set up the knockout, but hopefully we're going to get some big matches in the second round. My real big hope is that we stay like this with teams really going for it and having fun, because I remember 2014 being really good fun and we got about the quarterfinals and then teams started playing the occasion rather than the actual opponents, seemingly. But I think with VAR, there's so many odds and ends now, and it'll be interesting if teams actually adjust to the fact that and start telling the players possibly tugging your opponent in the box is not the best idea because people are watching now.
Yeah,
and we are getting to the point, and I remember this was always the argument when they were said like, oh, you can't give it, you'll give four or five penalties a game if you do that. Well, good.
Well, to give them, yeah,
because until the players cotton on, it's like with dissent, like we were talking about Iran and Portugal the other night, like VAR, they should have gone back. Like half the Iranian team should have been booked after the penalty, the first one. So I'm just hoping it keeps going. I've got high hopes for France-Argentina because I think Argentina remind me of 2010. And I've got a feeling the first team that really good side they play will probably do them. And with France, it's difficult to know. It could go one of two ways. Either they haven't kicked into gear yet.
Yeah. With the talent they've got, they should be giving someone a really good hiding, shouldn't they? But I mean, Griezmann's penalty against Australia, Mbappe has in patches shown glimpses of why he's the world's most expensive teenager. Ousmane Dembele again flittered in and out, and Giroud, I think France look better with him as the focal point of that attack with Griezmann and the others coming off him. But again, they've been about the most underwhelming team to reach the last 16 so far, I'd say.
Yeah, so it can go one of two ways. Either they're about to kick into gear, they're going to work this out, or they're going to just flit away and just sort of, and everyone's going to be baffled by how such a talented squad, because that's why I was kind of guilty of sort of backing them purely just on the talent and the fact I thought they should have won Euro 2016. But obviously they're lethal on their own patch, and sort of it's more a case of how they do away from France. But this tournament's wide open. I genuinely do think, like, this is what I'm really enjoying, is there's no, it's really difficult to be really confident about a team who you think is going to go on and win the World Cup, because I'd like the look of Spain, but then the Morocco performance, I know, and the scary thing is you can't say they were already through.
No.
They will have given a lot of teams encouragement in that game of how they played. Like, England and Belgium have been a lot of fun, but arguably they've had two weakish opponents, so we don't know really where they're at going forward. Brazil I think I've underwhelmed a little bit. I think they've shown little patches have been great. But going on, I think Brazil could be like Argentina and sort of a side who, the first side they play, that's any good, will take them apart.
One thing for sure, Gray, there's going to be plenty of more talking points before this World Cup is over.
Thanks to Steve Luckings and thanks to Kevin Jeffers for producing. Extra Time is on Apple Podcasts or your favourite podcasting app, and you can follow our continued World Cup coverage, including our latest from our correspondent in Russia, John McCauley, on our website, thenational.ae. I'm Graham Cagle. Join us again next week.